action and action. Thank
We're
you.
All good.
We're all good.
All right, I'm sitting next to Brendan Small. Everything's fine. So, welcome.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I had a couple questions I wanted to ask you. I'm sure you might get asked this a lot, but like, so with Death Clock, what came first, the band or the show?
The concept came first, and then I kind of got like a green light from the network. I said, hey, I want to do this show about this extreme band. They're the biggest act on earth, and I don't know if I want anyone to understand anything they're saying to each other. And they said, that sounds pretty cool. Go write it up. And I said, okay. And I was like, I don't know anything about this show yet. I need to figure out how to. So what I'm going to do is, if I can figure out what they sound like, then I think I'm off to the races. So I sat for a few months and just recorded guitars and kept on like, you know, tuning it lower and reading articles and listening to like what Michael Amott from Arch Enemy was saying about guitar. And I was like, yeah, everyone's in C standard, so I'm going to tune to C standard, get better at drum programming, and try to come up with something that I think this band sounds like. And everything that I wrote was a little too melodic, so I had to keep on making it a little uglier. Mm-hmm. My natural tendencies are to make things kind of poppy and pretty, but I kept on making it uglier and more grotesque and subterranean and horrible. And so then I figured, I was like, okay, I kind of like this, but I'm just me, so I guess that's like discover what Death Clock sounds like. And then the script and the first episode would all kind of come together. And so the idea was, how do you kind of like set up this world where this is the biggest band? And that was kind of the big kind of thing to do in episode one. So kind of simultaneously, I didn't really have an idea of what Death Clock was or what their name was or anything. I just knew it had to be a heavy band and things that kind of made my ear excited, you know?
So I noticed in an episode of Home Movies, it's an episode where it's really just showing like a movie that they made, which most episodes you're just watching the making of them, but it's kind of showing the movie. I heard guitar riffs that are very similar to Death Clock.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So I didn't know if like.
I don't know. I don't remember playing anything that I really used, but.
It was. It's just that like. I swear it's like the same riff that you use with the swearing.
Just like pinch harmonics and like gallops and stuff like that.
Like
I probably did all that stuff.
Yeah.
I probably did all that stuff because I think I just pulled out a guitar somewhere in the middle of Home Movies.
Yeah, and it was like later on in the.
But even in the first season, there's a character named Dwayne, and it was because I had like a guitar, and I had plugged it in, and we were just like messing around. And I was like, oh, we should do something with electric guitar. We should have a character that plays guitar. And so it was just because I was screwing around in a room full of people, and they were all like, oh, you know how to play guitar? And I'm like, yeah, I went to music school. And so that's how Dwayne happened. And so probably anything that happens from him is just me noodling or. And also, like, everything was out of tune. It had to be trashy and gross, like kids were doing it. So it's all messy and out of time and out of tune and, rough around the edges, yeah.
I actually asked someone yesterday a question about choreography with their set, and they kind of gave me a look, and I was like, oh, you wouldn't think bands, you know, do choreography, but I know of some groups that I've hired, and I was literally referencing Dwayne from Home Movies about when you hired the little cheerleader.
Oh, that's right, the dancers. That's funny.
Gym choreography.
That's right.
Dude, it was so funny. So what I wanted to know then is, how did the band then like become? So like you had the concept for the show, you made the show, so when did the music start happening?
So the other premise, the challenge for me is, I thought, okay, I have to take advantage of the fact that I can do music and a lot of comedy writers can't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what can I do that's just like, and I also knew I was doing stand-up back in Boston, like when I was doing Home Movies and before. And I was just always thinking, like, you know, like I'd see someone drag an acoustic on stage and do like song parodies, and I was like, it always makes me laugh. It's always funny, but if I'm gonna do something with music and comedy, I think I have to try to make it as big as I possibly can. And that's where Death Clock kind of came in too. So I thought, so now I'm here, I've got this project, and I'm like, I think I have to make this as big as I possibly can with whatever resources I have.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write brand new music every single episode. Every episode is going to have like kind of an inkling of a song, because mm-hmm. these episodes are so short. You probably get 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Occasionally you get a minute, maybe 2 minutes on a really exciting day. But I'm going to take all these bits and pieces of music and I'm going to elongate them and probably put out a record at the end of this thing. So that's what I was thinking while I was at the beginning of it. And if I can do that, then I'll probably have to go on tour, and then I'll probably have to figure out how to do animation and live something. Well, what do the gorillas do? And I look at gorillas videos. I go, okay, they're behind a scrim, and there's and you can kind of see shadows. And okay, I think you need the connection of the band and the audience. I think they now do this, by the way. They're in front of the scrim or the screen now. And for us, we were like, okay, let's get, like, and we sorted it out over the years. Like, we had a projector behind us. Some stuff didn't work. Some venues didn't have a very big back wall to project stuff. And then we started getting the LCD screens and renting those. And then we go and headline with a band like Baby Metal, which we're on tour with right now, and we share a screen. So again, we try to, like, split the cost and everything. So the question is, how do you make it big, and how do you make it? So it was all kind of like, it was that little thought process of like, if I make a song every episode, then I record it, then I tour it, right? That's just the logical progression of thoughts. And I thought, how do you do it? Well, everyone has shown me, I already know how to do it, so let's just go do it. And so that's what we would end up doing. We'd start like kind of putting that bug in the network's ear and saying, I think if I put together the right band, I bet you we can really do it. And so we did kind of like do like a trial tour with like a college tour, where they didn't really have great rock venues or anything. They were like commencement halls and things like that. Right. So it was like a trial by fire. And I was learning how to play guitar live and sing live and all that crazy stuff, and pedal boards, and literally dropping my guitar, hitting the clean tone instead of like the gain boost for the solos. Mm-hmm. Everything got screwed up. But I learned. It's just like stand-up. You just fail and bomb and figure it out.
It's actually amazing that you did all that.
So
I had people help me the whole time.
So
everything.
You voice Nathan Explosion.
Yeah.
And then so like does everyone who voices the rest of the band, are they the people who are performing too, or no?
I voice the majority of the band. So I voice Pickles the drummer, and Nathan, and Squiscar, and then Murderface in Tokyo are by a guy named Tommy Boccia. And so I do most of the voices on stage, and those are the guys that kind of talk. So usually not tonight because our set is shorter, but normally there's a patch where I talk to the audience as these three characters, and they say something about their hometown, stuff like that, and I have them talk to each other and argue with each other and whatever. So it's like a puppet show in the dark where no one really sees me do it, but they hear all the characters talking about something in the moment as it's going on or whatever, you know. It's like stand-up stuff, like character stuff.
Yeah.
That's super dope. So
it's fun, yeah.
So with being at Aftershock, is that something that like you ever imagined with like creating, you know, the show? And now it's, you know, it was Metalocalypse, but now it's, you know, it's Death Clock, and like Death Clock is on at Aftershock.
I know, it's pretty crazy. I don't know that I expected any of this, but it's really cool that it's happening. I think it's really neat. It's like I said, I've been working for 3 years, making a movie, making two records, and prepping for this tour, and I haven't rested since then. So this is like my vacation, and this is a lot of fun. And it's a really fun brain puzzle to make guitar and singing work on stage after being in a studio for a really long time, directing a movie and acting in a movie and stuff like that. You know, so I don't know. I get bored easily. It's fun for me to do this stuff. It's fun to multitask. But it's all the same thing as far as I'm concerned. It's all storytelling.
Sure. You know,
guitar is an aid of storytelling. And if I can figure out the guitar, I can probably figure out editing software, probably figure out drum programming software. If you're interested in something, if you're lucky enough to be interested in something, you can sort it out and figure it out if you want to.
You said you went to music school, so like, so is it music, animation, like level of tier of passion? No,
it's Berklee College of Music in Boston, so it's like a contemporary music school, been around for a while, and it was one of my. It was my goal to go there throughout high school, and I was such a bad student that I kind of limited everything to music. Like, I didn't have any other options. Mm-hmm. My parents were like, well, it's a college, right? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, you're going. And if you can get in. So I had to go and, like, necromance my way into the school and go, like, befriend.
Necromance is a good word.
Befriend a teacher of mine. Yeah, seriously, and go, like, hey, will you write a letter of recommend? And they did, and I got in on academic probation. So while I'm in there, though, I realized at some point that I'm hanging out with all the theater kids at Emerson College, which is the communication school up the street. And our schools are affiliated, so I can start taking classes there. So I start taking writing for TV classes, sketch comedy writing classes. And I ended up with like a Seinfeld spec script at some point, and that would teach me a lot. And then I would, you see, like, from my Seinfeld spec script, there are Seinfeldisms that are scattered throughout Home Movies and scattered throughout Metalocalypse, just because that was my first script I wrote, and I can't unsee it. And I also love Seinfeld, and I love those characters. They're really strong. Each one of them has a really strong personality, and that's what I thought Home Movies and Metalocalypse should also have. So it's all kind of... And then animation, I don't know anything about animation. I know how to ask for things, though. I can draw enough of a picture to get a better artist to figure out what I'm talking about. I can learn vocabulary about depth of field and mise-en-scene and all that stupid stuff.
Did you draw Home Movies, though?
Like, no.
No, you didn't draw
I didn't draw
that.
Anything. I didn't touch paper except for to write the script. It was all...
That's awesome.
It was all... No, I mean, there was an animation department, and the way that they did it back then is you just didn't talk to them, so you just wind up with whatever the show is. And I'm like, okay, I didn't see the character that way. Okay. And then this one, like... doing a movie is like micromanaging every single second. Like, I get what I want out of every single shot.
Wait,
with a really great team.
So then were you, like, hella offended how they drew Brendan? With
no.
That obnoxious nose? Yeah, I thought you would have a big nose when I met you.
It's, yeah, he's not, I'm not a redhead, and I don't wear pajamas. I guess I'm wearing pajamas. Maybe I am. Maybe it is based off me. But, no, either way, no, somebody came up with it, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not sure about this. But it's not supposed to be me. It's just we use my name because we were not creative, you know? And and so anyway, when I saw the character, I was like, I don't know how that's going to work. Then I saw the animation. I'm like, wait a minute, maybe it does work because it's easy to convince somebody. So
I got
to
get a quick reaction.
Oh, that's cool. Who's that?
That was me and my buddies 10 years ago.
Nice. Very cool. That's very cool. Why aren't you dressed like that right now?
I know. I should have done the Nate. I still have that wig.
We're getting the wrap it up signal.
Okay.
So.
Well, what else can I tell you? We're on tour. It's been really fun. Yeah. Baby Metal's been fantastic to tour with.
Nice.
It's been a really, like, morale is high. I think what I'm noticing right now, and I'm sure you'll probably get this from this festival too, is that it seems like the pandemic is gone, and it seems like people are leaving their houses, and it almost seems like the world's kind of come back to life in some way. And that's what it feels like being on this tour. But then again, I haven't left my house in 3 years because I've been working on this stuff. So morale is high for our team, for Baby Metal's team, and Jason Richardson also, who does the tour with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just snap in a couple.
It's all right, yeah.
So, no, yeah. Is there anything that you want our listeners to know about you or Death Clock or anything that we have coming up in the future?
Absolutely. Well, we just finished a movie called Army of the Doomstar. It's out now. It's dropped. It's on wherever you stream movies. There's a Blu-ray available. That's my mode of watching. I'm a movie collector. I love movies. Home movies, right?
Mm.
Makes sense. And I have a Death Album 4 that's out, and there's a soundtrack to the movie where I got to record with an orchestra and everything, and I'm really proud of that soundtrack. I think it's really cool. So we have two records, a movie, and a tour, and I'm finished next week, and then I get to go to sleep for a really long time.
Nice. That's the goal, yeah. Isn't it?
Bring on the coma and dog play.
Yeah. I know.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Can we just get a quick photo?
Sure.
Okay.